We care about you. If you want a guard, we'll all chip in.
Okay, thank you. Can we start without the chair?
You could. Does someone want to act as chair?
Should I act as chair? Bobby, you want to act as chair?
Sure.
Thank you.
Can I call the meeting together? And do we need a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
You do.
I'm moved.
Oh, second.
Any discussion? So let the minutes reflect the motion was passed.
Okay. So before we get in, I just want to say that, you know, we have had a lot going on in the library in the last almost year. In particular, you're going to get an update on what's going on in the Schwartzman building, which is a tremendous amount of work. And I've got to give kudos to Risa and her group. Dana's going to take us through an update on Inwood, as well as we're going to have some discussion about the Aguilar Library and the fact that we were able to use Simons money to be able to do this project. As everyone knows, the Simons gave a very generous gift to the library, and they specified that a portion of that money be used on capital projects in Harlem and East Harlem, which is why we were able to finally complete the McCombs Bridge Library with Simons money. And now we'll hear about this project at Aguilar. And Kerry Gould will take us through some city projects updates. So on the facilities update, I'm gonna turn it over to Jerry. And I just wanna say that Jerry and his staff have truly kept this library going in terms of cleanliness and PPE and the ability of all of us to work in a safe environment. And, you know, without them, I just don't know how we would cope day in and day out. So I'm now going to turn this over to Jerry.
Thank you, Iris. And good morning, everyone. So just a few updates that's going on in facilities world besides all our COVID actions. Even though we've been focusing on cleanliness of our branches, we've still been working on some critical projects using expense funds. We had $575,000 allocated for those projects, and we've identified five critical projects that are in progress and will be completed by the end of the fiscal year, and that includes Chatham Square, it's a landmark building, and the doors have entrance doors are falling apart. So those are in fabrication. We'll be replacing those soon. Morrisania, we're replacing the floor throughout the second floor, which is in very bad shape. Soundview, we actually just recently replaced the boiler in-house. We did that project for a cost of $85,000. At the Bronx Library Center, we're doing a partial roof replacement. That is actually, we're just waiting on the weather to break, and then we will do that work. At West New Brighton, we're installing split HVAC units to keep that branch open up until such time that a full HVAC replacement can take place. Speaking of Aguilar, in anticipation of the renovation that's going to take place with the Simons money, we actually did a roof replacement. The thing that was reason why I want to highlight this is that we replaced the entire roof at a cost of $168,000, and we completed the work in 8 weeks. I'd love to see DDC do that, but that's a pipe dream. And in terms of COVID preparedness, specifically in relation to our phase two operations, when we're able to get there, we've prepared 54 branch libraries for phase two services, as well as our three research centers. And currently we have a 6 month supply of PPE on hand, and we're continually sourcing supplies. That's all I have. Any questions?
I want to say that, you know, Jerry said this, but, you know, clearly it's always exhibited when we do the work ourselves and not using DDC, we get the work done just much faster and much cheaper. I don't know if Brian has yet joined the meeting, but we opened up Roosevelt Island this week for grab and go. I like to say, it's a terrible thing to say, but I say it anyway. When I joined the library 6 years ago, we were talking about the renovation of the new Roosevelt Island Library. And it took DDC 6 years to do an internal renovation of a space, 6 years. It's a sad bunch of events. I'm hoping when a new mayor comes in, maybe he or she will listen to the fact that DDC really needs to be reorganized or go away. Anyway, I'm going to turn it over to Dana, who's going to give us an update on the Inwood Library.
I'm back here, Iris, now.
Oh, good. Hi, Brian.
Okay, so I'm not seeing the presentation up, but I'll just go ahead with...
It's there, I see it.
Okay, it just must be my screen. As we discussed in our October Planning and Facilities Committee meeting, the Inwood Library Project was involved in a lawsuit against the city's rezoning, the entire rezoning in Inwood. But in November, we learned that the State Appeals Court declined to take up the case. So that means that the project's now in the clear to move forward. And as you will remember, NYPL has partnered with HPD, the city's Housing and Preservation Development Office, and the Robin Hood Foundation to redevelop the library. And their HPD's financial closings normally occur in June and December. In this case, the city's considering the possibility of a midterm closing in April. So we're waiting to hear from them whether that will happen. And then demolition and construction would begin immediately following. The existing branch is not currently open for service due to COVID, and we've begun the closeout process in the existing branch to move out all the books and equipment. And when that move is complete, we'll begin the process of shutting down all the utilities in preparation for demolition. The developer anticipates a 2.5-year construction period. And as you're aware, we've identified temporary space at 4857 Broadway across the street from the existing branch. And we plan to open the temporary space in Inwood by the end of February, so shortly. The location will initially offer the grab-and-go service, the same grab-and-go service that we've been offering at our other branches during this time. And then eventually, we will be able to offer core services such as circulation of materials, computer appointments, reader's advisory, and reference. I don't know if anyone has any questions.
Any questions? I just want to say that, and George is on the phone, the community, right, George, is very excited about this happening because Inwood has been closed from the time that we closed all the libraries, right?
Yeah, so we did send an email out to all the patrons yesterday advising them that the temp space will open late February. The responses were overwhelmingly positive. People are really excited about the new branch. They're also excited about library service returning to the Inwood community. We also will recommence our outreach activities, and we will be appearing before the community board along with the city and HPD in mid-February, kind of a town hall meeting to let the community know that the project is moving forward and that the temp space is opening, and to take any questions that they may have.
I have a question. How many square feet is the temporary library, and how much rent are we paying for it?
It's about 1,700 square feet, and we're paying about $65 a square foot, which is the going rate up there. It's a little lower than the going rate up there.
But it is, Susan, the city is covering the expense of temporary space.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and so we don't have to worry about that cost.
That's great.
Yeah. Look, it's not ideal, but I will say that, God bless New York before and after COVID. I mean, we found it very difficult to find space up in Inwood. Everything we looked at was like $85, $100 a square foot. Yep. And we were just very lucky that this landlord who built this modern building across the street had not yet rented the space and was willing to rent it to us. And Jerry and his folks had to do very little work to get it ready. We decided to stay with the concrete floors. As you could see, we have an exposed ceiling. And, you know, we did not a lot of work to get this back up, you know, shelving and the like. So, you know, we think the community will be happy having a grab and go facility right there.
So why is it, why is that market so tight?
People have just found the beauty of Inwood, you know, yuppies, families, you can get large apartments up there. You know, it's that you got parks up there. People are just moving to Inwood, you know, it's got some good schools. So, you know, it's just the natural creep of people finding new neighborhoods throughout the city of
New York. 20 years ago or so, it was a very bad neighborhood.
Not so much now. My thumbnail check is how many Starbucks are in the neighborhood. And this one has a lot of Starbucks. So, and you know, George will tell you with all the community meetings we had, right, George? I mean, there are a lot of young people who came to those meetings, correct? And were very vocal at those meetings.
Yeah, it really is a mixed community now. Quite a few young people are moving in, young families. And so the new library is really going to be a great asset.
I'm not sure 20 years ago, Bobby, it was a bad neighborhood. It was a different.
At night, it was bad. We worked on that library. And I remember when I went to the opening, I was a little worried about parking my car in the street. We did some renovation, I guess.
Yes, we did 20 years ago. We did a major renovation there.
Right. Do I look that old?
No, it's getting younger. Over 16, it's all younger.
Tony grew up here, of course, too.
It's his library. If he's on, he'll give us a story about his library, but he's not on. Okay. Carrie, are you going to talk about the 39th Street staff relocation?
Yes, I am. So the 39th Street staff relocation is well underway. In mid-December, we housed 92 staffers in new space. I'm happy to see Shannon is in her new office today. People seem very happy. It's the third and fourth floors received just a refresh, new workstations, carpet, paint, relamped. So it really looks very fresh and new. And I think people are happy about it. That also freed up the 7th and 8th floor. So between December 15th and the 31st, working with IT and facilities, Jerry, thanks again, it was the holidays. We got the floor cleared out and ready for turnover. It got turned over to the new owners the last day of the year. So it was important for us because we really wanted to meet that target because we would have incurred more rent. So it was, everybody was a very cooperative, and it was a huge group effort. So we were really pleased with that. Right now, we are still working on the SASB ground floor space. We will have 46 staffers move into that space in March. So I think all in all, we've been very happy with the contractor. It's really been a terrific effort, especially when people were not in the building and were very helpful about coming in and packing and moving. So
one of the things that Carrie and the staff did is, if you probably don't remember this, but on the 7th and 8th floor, remember we bought it from the church pension fund and we moved in as is. Those workstations were very high and quite ugly. And so when we did the refresh, if you'll notice in the middle picture, even though we had to put a workstation there, we tried to lower it a little bit, some more light comes in. As Carrie said, you know, new carpeting, new paint, and lower furniture has really made the space look much more welcoming and easy to work in.
Yes, I will say the carpeting went a long way. It was very dirty, our existing carpeting, so people are really pleased with that. So now I'm going to hand it over to Risa, and she can give us a little bit of information about the project at Aguilar.
Thanks, Carrie. So as Iris mentioned earlier, we have a project at Aguilar, thanks to our generous Simon's gift. And just to remind everyone, the gift was for branches that were in the East Harlem and Upper Manhattan neighborhood. So we were able to renovate McCombs, with that gift, as well as put money towards our Carnegie renovation for 125th Street. And this left then Aguilar as one of the branches in the area that we could use the gift to do some important work. And the branch is a Carnegie branch. It is approximately 13,000 square feet. It's large. It has, as Iris would say, great bones. It needs a lot of love. And with this gift, we are able to do some important work with regard to the infrastructure and specific upgrades that we feel we need to do, programmatic upgrades. But our first step we determined was to do a really thorough condition assessment and really look at our egress in the building and life safety, because we do have some concerns in that area. So we prepared an RFP that was given to our architects who are working on our Carnegies. We felt that was an appropriate sort of match, as well as the architect who did McCombs. All three great choices. The committee selected Mitchell Jerkula, as you may recall, one of our architects who are working on our Carnegie branches and also worked on our design standards. So the work will commence with the preparation of a condition assessment and schematic design. And from there, we will be able to really focus in on a scope for the available funds we have for the project. And as you can see in your resolution, the total available funds for this project are about $7.5 million. And that includes hard and soft costs. So we are really looking forward to starting this project and trying to do what we can to improve the branch and also prepare a roadmap for even future projects. So I believe you all have the resolution in your package of materials, and we are asking that you recommend that we can bring that resolution to the executive committee. And I know Jesse's on the line. Jesse, did I say that right?
Hi, Risa.
Hi. So does anyone have any questions about Aguilar? Or
I just had a question about what is life safety issues? What are they specifically?
My greatest concern in the branch is egress. And right now there's like sort of an old exterior stair that is part of the building that I don't believe is appropriate, as well as what we learned with our other Carnegies, how we can exit people out of the building per code. We had to put in additional sprinklers. We had to sort of enclose a stair in certain areas. So it's about how people can exit the building properly in terms of if there's an emergency or a fire. So that's a life safety concern. Also, of course, fire alarm and things like that fall under life safety. We need to look at HVAC, make sure that we're getting the right air circulation in the building. That's sort of what those infrastructure items are.
Thanks.
Sure. And I will also add, currently the building, the branch does not have a public restroom on like a ground floor that's just accessible. So we would like to look at that as well. So I guess we can move this to an update on city projects that Carrie will kick it off for us.
All right. The first thing we're going to talk about, and I think Iris and George will jump in here. We did submit a 10-year plan, new need request. We realized, you know, it's difficult fiscal times, so this might not bring any fruit, but we did feel like we should get on record what we wanted. And I do think since we've submitted this, and Shannon, you as well, can speak to this, we did not receive really any funding in the January plan. I think maybe we would hoped for some ads in the exec budget, but this is, I think, sort of the times we're in, and we'll have to see what happens, I think, in the next 6 months, year, as to how we'll fare in the capital funding realm. And George, I don't know if you want to add anything.
No, it's just to highlight, you know, what you said. We are in very uncertain times right now, both on the expense side of funding and also on the capital side. I mean, we're still trying to get the city and the OMB to release all of our projects that were already active and in the works. So coupling that with trying to get new money, it is a challenging moment right now for capital. That's not to say that we are not having, you know, very good conversations with the city. We are. We're in regular contact with them about our capital program and our new needs. But it remains uncertain, you know, how this will all play out during this budget cycle. And I don't know if Iris would like to add anything else to that.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is all tied in with the city budget. Although we've always said capital is cheaper, you still ultimately have to pay the debt service on capital. And, you know, I think that OMB is looking both at their capital budget and they're looking at their operating budget to see how they can lower their costs. So, this is a big ask. It's a typical ask for us. I will say that probably if I were OMB, I would probably want to be looking at the DDC shortfalls in those projects that are already in construction. Many of those projects at the beginning of COVID were stopped and then they were restarted. As to whether new projects could get started, I think that that's a big if. And so we're going to have to wait and see how the budget process, you know, works out and see what appetite there is, particularly from our elected officials, from the city council, to be able to fund capital projects. And there'll be more to come on this. So I don't know if there's any questions about the capital needs request or anything.
This is the last budget for the existing administration.
Right? No, is it?
Well, they get to do the November plan.
Right.
Well, putting aside the November plan, I understand that.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Then
this is their last full budget that they have to do. But John is right. They get to do a September and November plan.
And whatever that might mean with a new mayor coming in.
Yeah. Remember, the primary is early this year. It's in June.
Yes, it is.
For all intents and purposes, we could even with ranked choice voting, we could sort of know who the Democratic nominee is in June.
We would.
Yeah.
Well, you know, mayors going out do one of two things. They either lavish as much money as possible on their favorite things, or when there's no money, then they try to prove how fiscally responsible they are. So. Some of them try to do both. It doesn't usually work.
He's shown himself to be very fiscally responsible, so.
Well.
He does it on the way out.
Can I just ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Do they look at requests for technology any differently than for sort of old-fashioned brick-and-mortar requests?
Yeah, they do. They do look at requests for new technology. If it's new technology, Abby, to be honest with you, they put us through our paces. I know that Garfield is on the line. Anything other than, laptops, mainframe stuff, they will come back with a million zillion questions. But yes, you know, we always come forward with some new technology that we want. And, you know, we have to go through the process. Garfield, do you want to add anything?
I don't think Garfield's on today.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Anyway, the answer is yes, we do try and come up with new technology. You know, what they tend to do is, to be honest with you, they wear us down at times about the new technology. But we're not shy. We keep coming back to them.
Okay. And this is just an update on our active portfolio. So these are the projects that were in process, were already funded. When we talked to you last in October, we had only had 19 of those projects released and 35 were still on hold. Since October, we're up to 40 released, which is good news. And we still have 16 on hold. And you'll know the number's a little higher. We had two projects that were in pre-planning that OMB released. We didn't view them as active, but they're gonna be active now. So that's where we stand. It is a little bit, you know, it's a lot of movement. And just so you know, projects of note that have been released are in the Carnegie renovation program. We got both Melrose and Fort Washington released, Hamilton Fish Interior, the County Cullen facade replacement, which it's in terrible condition. It was an emergency situation, so we're pleased about that. City Hall, Westchester Square got released. We're a little, not maybe one of our priorities, but it was released.
Can I just say something about Westchester Square? This is sort of, we're all scratching our heads on this one. As you know, we are supposed to build a new library up at Westchester Square. The real estate transaction was being held up by DCAS. I don't even remember how many years now. It was just an enormous amount of time. And as everybody knows, this project has now grown to almost $40 million for this new branch. You know, if we had our druthers, even though it's a beautiful branch, it seems sinful to be spending $40 million, you know, building a new branch when we all believe, you know, for half the amount of money, we could have renovated the old Westchester Square. But City Hall is pushing this. And, you know,
why?
I think because the Bronx Borough president on his way out would like to say that this is still, you know, going to happen, is my guess. You know, he did give us a lot of money toward the project. And it was he who got like $7 or $8 million more put in the project. When we identified that we had huge gaps in this project, the Bronx Borough president went to OMB because we said, we're not going any further until you identify funds. I never thought they would put more money in this project, but they did it for Ruben Diaz. And my fear is, my great fear is, and Risa, I don't know, chime in if you want to, by the time we put a shovel in the ground, we'll still be short money on this project. Do you agree?
You know, if history is our guide, that could very well be the case. And just to sort of highlight how long this project has been in the making, I think Jesse had two children during the time just the agreement was being prepared for the purchase of the property. You know, we all have great concerns about this project. We have raised them repeatedly to DDC. We also are concerned that we don't want it to become another Long Island City, Hunter's Point. So we're just very mindful of the project and as it moves forward.
Okay. So,
what is its current status? I'm unclear.
The project, it's right now the purchase agreement is being reviewed with the owner of the property, and the construction documents are complete. However, the architect has just been released by DDC and the city to sort of review the documents and get paperwork in order for building department filings and property purchase.
So in the ordinary course, when would it begin construction?
So I don't see construction starting anytime in the next year. Like, I think at best, it could possibly start in about a year. Carrie, would you say that's right?
Yes.
Okay.
So in the best case scenario, which nothing about this project has been a best case scenario, but in the best case scenario, I could see construction starting in a year.
So I have a few questions. I know this has been a source of frustration for all of us for way too long. Mm-hmm. But so Long Island City, that boondoggle, if I remember right, was maybe 25 million. We're now north of 40 on this. Is that right?
No. Long Island City, I believe, is about that project is 30, ended up being 37 or 40 million, as I recall.
Okay. So we're definitely in the boondoggle neighborhood.
We are in the neighborhood.
And it is fully funded, even though we think it's not going to be fully funded by the time it's finished, correct?
Yes.
And then lastly, just in terms of the schedule, following up on Gordon and Bobby's questions, if we follow what we think is now the path, where will we be in the process when a new mayor comes in? And is that then potentially a moment for a new mayor to say, wait a minute, this is crazy?
We will just be putting a shovel in the ground, just about putting a shovel in the ground, which doesn't mean that we can't slow it down and try and reason with a new administration that this is really not necessary to do.
Okay. A lot of politics here.
Yes.
It'd be interesting to see if the current borough president, who he endorses, if anybody, that may affect a new administration's attitude too. So who knows?
So the one project that I am sort of concerned about that's been put on hold is the Library Service Center roof deck. There's a lot of leaking going on there. And so we are trying the best we can to get OMB to realize penny wise, dollar foolish. If we don't fix the roof, we're going to have greater water damage and there'll be more problems.
How much is that, Iris?
The roof deck? Why do I want to say like 5 million, Risa? Am I right?
It's funded for 7.5 right now. Waiting on costs.
Yeah. And we have, you know, the funding has been identified. It's just OMB needs to release it.
Right. And so on the right, you will see these projects that remain on hold: 125th Street, Port Richmond, Hunts Point, the roof deck, as well as Andrew High School. These are our priorities that we are still working with OMB to try to get released. As we said, the three Carnegies are really ready to bid. So we just keep pushing and working with George and Shannon, and hopefully we'll get some more projects released.
You know, for what it's worth, I'm feeling a little optimistic that I think these projects will be released. I know OMB is asking questions about them, so that's always a good sign.
Okay. And as was discussed earlier, we've finished up some projects and Roosevelt Island was completed and there was an opening on Monday. I think people were very pleased with it. I know Risa and Tony.
Yeah, it was a nice moment to get this project open, completed, and I'm just looking forward to the time that it can be fully open. We really haven't sort of placed all the furniture, you know, it's sort of in a pile in the corner. So, you know, just in order to follow all of our COVID guidelines for grab and go. But I think it was well received and, you know, it's great to have it sort of done. So
those of you who remember the old Roosevelt Island, it was basically one large room. And this is a huge improvement on the space.
Yeah.
Okay. Charleston and Staten Island also released. It's in progress. We've got some construction photos here. It's an anticipated opening of fall of 21. You can see on the right, they have laid conduit. The slab pour is supposed to happen next week. So it's moving along. We are working with EDC, the Economic Development Corporation, who's managing this project for us. And it is far, in my opinion, far better than working with DDC.
I will second that.
Yes. They're just much more responsive and wedded to the schedule and things like that. So it's been a positive experience. And then McCombs Bridge, which opened pre-COVID in January of 2020, it won both a state and New York City AIA award, American Institute of Architects. So we wanted to do that. And so
we were happy. These are design awards. And
yes, and Van Cortlandt as well won a New York City AIA award. So we just wanted to share those. And now I'm going to turn it over to Iris and Risa to do the SASB update.
The bank on Park Avenue and 30th, is that what I reached?
You got it. Brian.
Not on mute.
Put yourself on mute.
He's muted now.
Okay.
So Risa is going to go through this. Those of you, if you were to enter the Schwartzman building at this moment, as many of us do, it is a hubbub of activity, and Risa will take us through the hubbub of activity. And it's all I could say, it's one of the good things that COVID's going on, because I think the public would be a little disjointed now.
Possibly. So these are construction photos from, maybe a couple of weeks ago. So things are changing very quickly. But this illustrates some work that has been put in place to replace our cooling tower, add a new cooling tower, plus mechanical units on the roof. And a stair was built on the side of SASB, right in the loading dock area, little to the side of the loading dock. So workers could easily access the roof and then access other areas where work is active. Next slide. So one of our major infrastructure projects is putting in a new stair and elevator, as we've all discussed. This is major work that goes throughout the building, and Carrie has just pointed to the area. So on each floor where this is happening, we need to do a temporary partition to sort of segregate the work from the public. And that the partitions have all been put in place. And we are gonna look at ways, we're working with communications and to look at ways that we could maybe sort of add some of our own library touches to these temporary partitions.
I'm not clear where the elevator is. Where would it open up on the second floor?
It would open up, go ahead, Risa.
So this is the first floor.
Right, I know that.
And maybe if we go to the next slide, I think we have the second floor. Oh, that's the mezzanine. So on the second floor, the elevator will open up not far from where you currently sort of access from South Court. Harry's hand is pointing to sort of where that elevator will open up when it is installed.
Which hallway is this we're looking at?
This is the hallway where the executive offices are. So Harry, maybe you could point to Tony's office.
Let's say the door to Tony's office.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's across the way.
Got it.
There was Tony Agay's office. There was Brian's office. There was the entrance to the
South Court.
Yeah, South Court and the elevator there.
And then Michelle's office is spared, but she's.
And then there was the room that held the safe and documents. So we basically had to take out three rooms to be able to do this construction. those rooms will go back, except for the room that held the safe, but the other two rooms will go back.
That's
as well
correct.
As Hansman has been taken offline because of the way that we have to reach the work to be able to put the elevator in. So that has temporarily been taken offline, and it'll go back to the way it was before.
Thanks.
Risa, so, do you want to go back to the mezzanine or just move forward?
No, that's okay. We could.
I feel like a slide.
So this is work that's happening in the cellar level. And as you can see on the left is excavation work that had to happen for the new elevator pit and stair. And it's challenging, you know, it's hard to get around the building. It's hard to access different areas of the building. So it's, you know, the logistics, as we've always said, have proven to be difficult, but Turner has a very clear plan and they are working and proceeding. And on the right is an area in the cellar that did complete. Tishman had started this work and then it was completed by Turner. And it is a workshop space for exhibitions in the cellar. This work is on the third floor and it shows work that's happening in Solomon and Bill Glass. The scope of this work is HVAC unit replacement. So there's been temporary walls and a work area put in place in both of the spaces. Bill Blass on the right, it's still, people are still able to work in this area and the temporary partitions sort of segregates where all the HVAC work is happening. The photo in the middle shows sort of the attic space above Solomon where workers need to access and get their work done. And it's just, it's all incredibly difficult, tight areas to do work. You know, it's just the nature of the building.
Do we keep any books in the attic?
No.
I don't think.
And then, so, as Iris mentioned, all of this work is going on in the building. And right now the building is not that filled with our staff or patrons, but it will be. And in anticipation of that, we decided that it's really critical that we put together a sort of protocol for communication. So staff is fully informed of the work that's going on because there will be, you know, many questions, I'm sure, from patrons and just in staff in general. So we have worked closely with Turner to put together, we're thinking, a monthly newsletter, and it will be posted on LAIR. And it will also, like, a link will be sent out to managers, SASB managers, so everyone will sort of be informed of the work that's happening. And we're hoping that this will be a good tool to communicate throughout the duration of these projects, which will be for several years.
Just one question. I don't know if the committee feels, would this be helpful for the board or the executive committee to get this newsletter? What do people think? I think it's a great newsletter. I think it's chock filled with information. So, you know.
I think definitely.
I do too. I agree.
Yeah.
Great.
A frequency.
We'll send it out to the board as well. So
that, how often does it come out?
Monthly.
Monthly. So
yes.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a very good idea.
The second thing is I just want to say, for now, Turner is working out very, very well. And Risa, I don't know if you want to sort of talk about our experiences with them.
Oh, it's been, you know, you always like to have a contractor that I feel like I'm trying to they have been proactive. They have been so anxious to get work started. They are organized. They've had a great staff, and they also have a diverse staff of people working on the project. So it's been, in my mind, a really good experience, one that I've not had in a while with, you know, a number of CMs. So I feel very comfortable with what they're doing. I also am glad that we have our staff and CBRE to sort of keeping each other in check, because I'm just going to say, as really happy as things are going right now, they don't always go great. You know, it's construction. So we will hit a bump, but I'm sure we are very prepared to address any problems and get through them. So I don't know, Iris, that's sort of my feeling. It's been a very responsive team.
Yep. No, they have been responsive, and, you know, I mean, they sort of have it a little easier than they thought, because there's nobody walking through the building really, except for staff that's in. I guess the true test will be when the library reopens and we've got a lot of people there, but hopefully by then they will be well along in the work that they're doing. So we're very pleased with them.
Agree.
So that's our agenda. I think we have to go back and do the, John, we have to do the motion on Aguilar. John, we can't hear you.
Sorry, today's been a mess for me. I apologize to the committee for being so late and for not having my mic on just now. So we have the one resolution to approve on Aguilar. I guess I need a motion for us. Is it actually a motion that has to go to the executive committee, or do we just refer it? I think we had discussed that it was just a referral, not an actual motion.
You're going to recommend the resolution to the executive committee, John.
Okay. So has everyone had an opportunity to review it? And if so, then I would recommend that we submit it to the executive committee. Michelle, do we use a formal vote on that?
You need a motion to
Okay. Okay, so can I have a motion to refer it to the executive committee?
So moved.
Any second?
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, then the motion is approved to recommend it to the executive committee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Again, apologies.
Okay, life gets in everyone's way.
Yeah.
Gotta leave.
You know, I wish it was something more substantial than I just put it on my calendar for the wrong time.
We all do that.
Welcome to Zoom world. Hey, guys. I gotta go do physical therapy.
Feel better, right. Gordon.
Feel better, Gordon.
Thank you,
everyone.
Susan, John.
Thanks, everyone.
So long, everybody.
Bye, nice to see you here. What's happening?
Thank you. Bye.
Great work, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Johnny.